He's sitting in a chair and he had his legs up on a table and her legs were laying over his legs. And when we walked in, he did not even react. He didn't even react at all. Neither of them reacted.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the allegations at a boarding school in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. While allegations of sexual abuse continue to emerge from a private all-girls school in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Miss Halls, former students and staff are speaking out about what they call an unsafe campus environment where relationships between teachers and children were well-known and unchallenged. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes filed this in-depth report.
This spring, multiple alumna of Miss Hall School have leveled accusations of sexual abuse, exploitation, and grooming at the hands of former history teacher Matthew Rutledge. Melissa Ferris, Hillary Simon, and two former students who have not been named hired attorneys Kristen Natilla and Eric McLeish as they go public with their stories. The growing scandal was first reported by the Berkshire Eagle. While Miss Hall School turned down multiple requests for interviews from WAMC News, the school offered a general statement and answered questions. Rutledge, who lives directly off the Miss Hall's campus on Holmes Road, was banned from campus and then resigned shortly after Ferris's initial charges went public. He did not respond to requests for comment from WAMC. An investigation has been launched by the Berkshire District Attorney, and Miss Hall's has pledged to cooperate with authorities while also conducting its own internal review. Students who attended the school, while Ferris, Simon, and others were allegedly preyed on by Rutledge, tell WAMC that the inappropriate relationships were an open secret in the tight-knit campus community, that they feared repercussions for speaking out, and that it was impossible for administrators to not have known about them. Bethany Whitney and Ariel Smith are sisters with deep ties to Miss Halls. Their father and uncle attended the school in its co-ed days, along with their aunt and two cousins. Smith attended from 2005 to 2009.
I actually remember my very first day of going with my parents at freshman year, and I made them drive past the school, and I was so nervous. My cousins had already gone there, but I was so nervous. I made them drive past the school and just drive to this like long, it was like a driveway or something. And we were just sitting there. My parents were like, it's okay. I was like, I'm so nervous. I don't know why.
The sprawling campus lies in the largely rural southeastern quadrant of Pittsfield, set along Holmes Road, a winding pathway through farms and residential neighborhoods far from downtown.
They almost make themselves intimidating to the community. It's like they like separate themselves. And I felt like when I was driving up the hill, like I was going somewhere that was not in Berkshire County. And I'd grown up in Berkshire County. I was very comfortable here. So they do, I feel like, remove themselves a little bit from the community.
Whitney spent her freshman and sophomore years at Miss Hall's from 2007 to 2009.
I loved Miss Hall's. I was very involved. I played 3 competitive sports a year. I would stay every single night for study hall till 9 o'clock at night. I was a day student the couple years I was there. Even on the weekends, I did so many activities. I just loved being there. I loved my friends.
Whitney says the traditional lines that separate faculty and staff from students were blurred, especially in retrospect.
The teachers were our friends, you know, and there was no separation between that. So it was very normal for us to do private outings with our teachers and very normal for students to be going into the teachers' apartments on campus.
The significance of those relationships in a cloistered environment was not lost on the students.
The school was run off of favoritism, and I was never a favorite. And for some reason, there are the faculty members that were like the cool faculty members, and they would get really involved with like the girls that are like the cool girls, kind of.
Again, Smith.
They created this culture of, you know, you're here, these teachers are like your parents, this closeness is okay with teachers, when really, students should not have been sleeping over at teachers' apartments or houses. Dinners alone together were super inappropriate. If you're gonna have advisors, it really should have just been a teacher-student relationship. And we had a lot of like different like seminar days, and not one of them was about sexual misconduct, inappropriateness with adults, anything like that.
According to Whitney, if you were on the Miss Hall's campus in the late aughts, evidence of Rutledge's relationships with students was hard to miss.
So we had study hall every night from 6 to 9 p.m. And one night it was around the end of study hall, and me and my friend went into his classroom to go get something. And when we walked in, he was sitting there. He was sitting in a chair, and he had his legs up on a table, and her legs were laying over his legs. And when we walked in, he did not even react. He didn't even react at all. Neither of them reacted. So we had to just go into the classroom, grab whatever we needed, and leave. And then me and my friend, obviously, as soon as we walked out of the room, were like, that was weird. But that's the thing, is that he was so comfortable with this, you know? And for her to not even react, he must have been really, like, putting it into her head, like, this is okay. This is okay. See? They didn't even see? Everything's fine, you know? But when I look back, now being 30, and I look back and I think about the fact that neither of them reacted to us walking in there and they were sitting like that, is just bizarre to me.
Rutledge, who taught at Miss Hall's for over 30 years, had an outsized presence on campus.
He was very powerful there amongst the teachers, you know. He was very flirtatious with students, the ones that he liked. And he would walk through the halls. This is at least on a weekly basis. He would walk through the halls when there were a bunch of girls in the way, saying, Mr. Wonderful coming through. Like, that's what he would yell amongst all of us. His ego is, his head's huge. He's just powerful there. You know, there's a reason why he lasted there 32 years. Because of one, because of himself, but also because, and with them all covering everything up. But he's just, he did a good job at what he did.
Emily Adamczyk transferred into Miss Hall's in 2003 and graduated in 2005. She'd heard rumors about Rutledge before she even stepped foot on campus.
That he was dating, of course, those are the words we use, that he was dating a student at the time, and that they would go on their cross-country runs and they would go in the woods and make out. And that was like the big thing I heard. And I was like, well, guess I'm not joining the cross-country team. And that was just kind of what I heard going in, because my sister was also on the cross-country team before she graduated.
Hillary Simon, one of the former students who alleges sexual abuse by Rutledge, was Adamczyk's roommate.
We all knew. And the culture there was, if we all know, we assume someone on staff must also know. And if someone on staff must know, then this must not be that big of a deal. And that kind of seemed to be the culture that's been beating in the background for the last 20 years.
In an environment as close as Miss Hall's, Adamczyk says it's practically impossible that the adults in charge hadn't heard about Rutledge's proclivities for dating students.
It should not have taken 33 years and a victim coming, or a survivor coming forward.
As a student herself, Adamczyk said she never felt comfortable approaching the Miss Hall's administration with concerns about staff misbehavior.
Ew, absolutely not. No, keep it to myself and just hope I graduate in one piece. I mean, it was just survival. Just, you know, by then you just learned. You don't tell them anything. You don't know how they're going to react.
Adamczyk is the admin for an independent Facebook group for Miss Hall's graduates, separate from channels officially controlled by the school. On the Facebook page, alumna from across the decades have shared dozens of accounts of ways Miss Halls has failed them in moments of crisis. Adamczyk says the school's response to the Rutledge allegations lacks transparency and that she's pessimistic about the odds of a thorough reckoning.
We just don't think there's going to be any kind of change. We think it's a cover-your-ass moment and save the school, save the checks, but I don't think they really want to take on the actual work of what it would take to completely clean house, to do workshops, to do town halls with alumni, to really get to where they need to be.
Ahead of the 2024 Miss Hall's reunion, set to begin May 17th, Adamczyk says the school has an opportunity to make a meaningful gesture to the accusers.
A big step forward would be for them to cancel the reunion or to change the reunion completely to an open voice town hall where people can voice their concerns. I do not think the best look for them right now is to have a fundraiser for the school about how wonderful your time was there. I don't think that's a good look for them, especially considering the reunion last year. They had Lucia Stoller Evans as the speaker, who was one of the women in the Weinstein case. It wasn't a good look last year, and I don't see how they can have a reunion this year without a lot of trouble and a lot of protesting.
Adamczyk says the responsibility for the situation during her time at Miss Hall's is in the hands of one person, then head of school, Jeannie Norris.
You can't be the head and the face of a company. And let's face it, it's a company. They make money. They make a profit. You can't be the face of that and not also open yourself up to everything all the litigious everything. I mean, you just can't. So whether or not she had direct knowledge, she was still at the helm. She's still the face of it. It was still under her control.
Ashley Ketchum, class of 2005, told WAMC that she was familiar with students who did approach Norris and other administrators about their concerns with Rutledge.
I actually know of a student who I'm very close with who did go to the head of school and dean and kind of confronted them about the quote-unquote rumors. And about 2 days later, there was an assembly held. Basically, the entire school was pulled into this assembly to be reprimanded for spreading rumors, and then were kind of told that they took that very seriously and that, you know, you would be punished if you were caught spreading rumors or engaging in rumors.
Ketchum and other students interviewed by WAMC said during their time at Ms. Hall's, fear of retribution from the administration contributed to a culture of silence.
I have a lot of, you know, guilt about being there and knowing about this and not making an official report. However, I don't think that report would have been taken seriously and could have possibly been reprimanded for it. But I just, you know, I'm doing what I can now that I'm an adult, to support them, and I'm just so proud of all of them.
Through Pittsfield-based firm Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook, which is representing Ms. Hall School and its former staffers, Norris declined to comment after being reached by WAMC News. Norris stepped down as head of Ms. Hall's in 2012 after 16 years in the role. For Whitney, the entire boarding school industry, with its long and harrowing history of child abuse, is overdue for an overhaul.
If Ms. Hall's has to be made an example of, then that's what needs to happen. This needs to stop. It's a perfect place for pedophiles to go. These kids are away from their family, and they get to just groom them, manipulate them, and then do whatever they want with them, and their parents aren't around. It's disgusting.
Smith agrees.
It just seems like this has been a repetitive problem. So for all the women that have been hurt by Ms. Hall's, been hurt by adults at Ms. Hall's, have been kicked out, retaliated against, for new students who are now feeling, you know, you're at a school and now you find out that there's like all these secrets that are hidden in the walls. I just really want these adults to be held accountable.
Adamczyk says the real scandal isn't even about Rutledge and the girls he allegedly groomed and abused while teaching at Ms. Hall's.
The cone of silence in the boarding school community needs to go through some serious changes, and I don't know how that's going to happen.
Again, Ketchum.
I've heard so many stories of teachers, administrations, heads of schools, deans. I've heard so many stories of them being directly told about this kind of stuff and it getting swept under the rug. I have experience of watching the teachers turning their cheeks. And I know this is all in the past, but it seems that the same kind of culture is happening. It just seems like they're kind of being forced to be held accountable for what they have to save themselves.
Ketchum says the legacy of abuse at Ms. Hall's lives on through its faculty and staff members who have never faced necessary scrutiny.
There was a statement that came out from the Board of Trustees recently, claiming to reach out to them with any information, and it just kind of feels fake. And I know that there are still some teachers there, some staff members there that have been there a long, long time that were around when Rutledge was causing problems. And it just kind of, I know there's an investigation happening and everything. I'm just kind of sitting back and waiting for things to actually happen. And I feel like a lot of this is on the school. I know that people like Mr. Rutledge can't help themselves. And unfortunately, the school was notified many, many, many times through the years and nothing happened. And the teachers who are still there, I'd be shocked if they didn't know, and if they didn't know, there's the negligence of not being aware of it is a problem. So I'm just interested to see what actually plays out and what actually happens with current staff members that are there that knew about what was happening.
Concerns about campus safety at Miss Hall's are not limited to the era around Rutledge's alleged relationships with Ferris and Simon over a decade ago. Melissa Odell, who worked as a lacrosse coach at the school as recently as 2022, told WAMC in a statement that she verbally raised concerns about Rutledge spending time alone with a student to a dean. Quote, I said, have we thought about implementing a two-on-one scenario where a teacher is never alone with a student to protect not only the students but themselves? And she said, well, no, he's fine. He's been here 30 years and we don't need that policy. We don't have enough staff. And I said, well, it could be two students and one staff. It doesn't necessarily need to be just two staff. Even just having two students kind of protects everyone. And she said, no, we don't need to do that. And I found that to be alarming. End quote. Odell also related another story to WAMC about Rutledge specifically asking her to leave him alone with a student during a one-on-one meeting. A request she refused in part due to the student specifically asking for Odell's presence during the sit-down. She says the school's training for staff members, as shown in a page from the Miss Hall School Employee Handbook provided to WAMC, calls for them to first approach the head of school, dean of students, or dean of academics and faculty to, quote, take the appropriate next step, end quote. Said Odell, quote, as a trained mandated reporter, you report it to the Department of Children and Families, but that wasn't what they were instructing people to do. They were instructing people to bring it to the head of the school, and she would decide what to do with it. And if your assistance was needed any further in making reports, they would let you know. End quote. Private school teachers are included under the mandated reporter designation. The requirements on those figures are, quote, Massachusetts law requires mandated reporters to immediately make an oral report to DCF when, in their professional capacity, they have reasonable cause to believe that a child under the age of 18 years is suffering from abuse and/or neglect. A written report is to be submitted within 48 hours. In addition to filing with the department, a mandated reporter may notify local law enforcement or the Office of the Child Advocate of any suspected abuse and/or neglect. End quote. WAMC also spoke with a student with memories dating back to Rutledge's earliest days at Miss Hall's in the 90s.
My senior year, I lived in Witherspoon, which was the all-girls dorm that Mr. Rutledge was the dorm parent of.
Julie Lombardi, class of 93.
When I was there, you know, living in Witherspoon with him, I mean, I witnessed him like flirting and being inappropriate, you know, with my friends in the dorm. I always thought it was weird that they even allowed him to live in a girl's dorm, to be honest. Thought it was kind of strange. He would come in our rooms like every night to like say goodnight to us. And like, you know, during study hall, he would come into like study hall check-in every night. And he was definitely friendlier with some of the girls than others. My roommate and I, we always kind of thought he was kind of creepy and sketchy, so we never really let him in our room for more than like 5 minutes at a time. But we definitely witnessed him, you know, being inappropriate with our friends.
Even as a teen, Lombardi knew something was off.
And I always wondered, what did his wife think about him hanging out in like the rooms of like 17-year-olds?
She told WAMC that the culture of silence and fear at Miss Hall's was well established during her tenure at the school.
When I was there, I heard about a girl who had spoken out about somebody else. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody like, they had tutors that would come from different colleges around the area, and they would come to like study hall. They were usually like college kids that were like coming to study hall to tutor sometimes. I heard about a girl that had complained about, you know, one of these college kids who was a guy who was kind of being inappropriate, and she actually ended up getting in trouble for it instead of the guy. So I think because we all kind of knew about this sort of retaliation and not taking things seriously, that nobody really wanted to speak up. And I personally feel like it was definitely a culture of like cover up there because of that. Them never wanting, the administration never wanting the students to ever say anything negative about anything going on there.
Alongside alleged sexual predation from teachers like Rutledge, Lombardi says the school also overlooked mental and psychological abuse inflicted by staff members on students.
There were a lot of girls there that, you know, were dealing with all sorts of things. I mean, these are high school girls and, you know, they're having all kinds of, you know, issues, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically. And the school was just not prepared, or they were not set up to really deal with the girls having any kind of issues mentally, and which could range from all different kinds of things. And whenever these things would come up, the administration would just kind of be like, suck it up. You know, like they just never wanted to deal with anything.
Like other former students, Lombardi says she's taking solace in the positive relationships she did make there.
I was talking to my roommate yesterday about it, actually. This is my roommate who I had there for 4 years, and we're still like best friends, even though it's been 30 years. We were telling each other yesterday, like, if it wasn't for our little friend group that we had there, we don't know if we would have made it through, because we, so much happened when we were there. Like, I can't even, there's so many stories. I don't want to get into all of them now, but I mean, it was a really crazy time in our lives. And to only have each other to look out for each other, and not really any adults to look out for us, was very difficult during those years.
Attorney Kristen Nutilla, who is representing the four former students pursuing legal action against Rutledge and Ms. Halls alongside Eric McLeish, tells WAMC that evidence of Ms. Hall's culture of retaliation and repression is well documented. An unnamed student Nutilla is representing says that Rutledge's behavior was on full display while driving her to and from extracurricular activities off campus.
A client of ours who attended Ms. Hall's school in the early 90s and who was groomed and sexually abused during her entire time at Ms. Hall's school told the then head of school, Trudy Hall, that not only was Rutledge giving her these rides, but that she felt threatened by him. What Trudy Hall said in response was something on the lines, our client does not remember the exact words, but she said something along the lines of warning her to keep quiet or her leadership activities and or student aid would be jeopardized.
It wasn't the only time the students' interactions with Rutledge raised alarms.
There was a second report in that our client's coach saw our client getting in and out of a car with Rutledge. And when that specific coach asked why the client was getting in and out of Rutledge's car, our client told him that she felt uncomfortable being alone with Rutledge. As far as our client knows, nothing was ever done in response to either one of these reports.
After leading Ms. Halls, Hall went on to serve as head of school at the Emma Willard School in Troy from 1999 to 2016. Emma Willard has also dealt with fallout from sexual misconduct allegations. Nutilla also has a copy of a 2008 letter sent to then head of school Jeannie Norris by parents of another Ms. Hall student she's representing that brought up concerns about Rutledge's, quote, unmistakably inappropriate, end quote, conduct with their daughter. Like with similar calls to Norris's predecessors like Hall and her successor, Julie Heaton, who currently runs the school, Nutilla says it went unanswered.
It's not on the kids or the survivors themselves to be the ones that come forward, although that's what always happens. It's for the grown-ups to take initiative to see something that they think just doesn't look right and to do something about it.
When reached by WAMC for comment, Ms. Hall School head Julia Heaton offered a statement confirming the school is cooperating with authorities and won't comment on ongoing investigations. You can find the full list of WAMC's questions to Ms. Hall School and the school's responses, as well as resources for contacting the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network at WAMC.org.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Josh Landes for his reporting. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.